Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I'll return shortly with today's guest, Ella Bingham, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. We hope you're enjoying this week's Bedford County Speaks. We're pleased to sponsor this community effort every week. Sometimes people ask us how we do business. Well, it's simple. When a family firm like us has been around for over 100 years, you learn a lot. For example, we know you don't care for haggling, so instead, we discount our vehicles up front to remove all the guessing. We also pay our sales consultants on volume rather than on the price of the car or truck. That way, everyone works to get you the vehicle you want instead of the one we may want to sell you. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru offers transparent financing with protection options to fit your budget. In addition, when you buy a car or truck from us, you get free state inspections for life, free car washes for life, and great warranties, which remove all the worry. And we'll even buy your trade for cash. So stop by our showroom today and check out our beautiful supply of Chevrolet cars, tough Chevy trucks, and those fabulous worry-free Subarus. That's the Thomas Promise. To learn more, visit us on Route 220 or thomaschevrolet.com.
Again, we are here in the Senior Center. This is the second time we've been in the Senior Center. The last time was to talk to Mick Gordon, who runs this place, and he turned out to be a pretty good guest. And then it was suggested by my wife, actually, that I should talk to this young lady we have here with us right now. Her name is Ella Bingham. And Ella, well, I'm going to call her Bedford's historian for better term, just because she's not going to talk to you anything like about the Revolutionary War or anything, but she is going to talk to you about some near history. And as I explained to Ella, she has lived in Bedford longer than most of us have been alive. So this is going to be a very special interview. Ella, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for asking me.
First of all, let's find out a little bit about you. I understand that you're a native of Huntington County.
Yes, I was born and raised there until I came here in 1950 as a bride and married Cyril Bingham,
so
Senior.
What was your maiden name?
My maiden name was Holland.
Holland, okay. And was your family originally from Huntington County?
Well, my father was, yes. Mm. His parents came from Glasgow in Cambria County.
Oh, really?
And my grandfather, Holland, my father's dad, was one of the original contractors of the Raystown Dam.
Oh, my word.
And when my father wanted to quit school, my grandfather said to him, you quit school, you have to go to work.
So in 1950, you move here with your a new husband, or was he already an old husband by then, 1950? Were you newly married?
We were married in Huntington.
Okay.
And we came after our honeymoon to Bedford, and I've been here ever since.
So what brought your family to Bedford, you and your husband?
Well, my husband was a justice of the peace, which is what our son is today. Mm-hmm. He is, in 1970, 69, changed over to ministerial judges.
Oh, I see, right. And they called them magistrates for a while. And
yes.
Now I think they call them something else.
And yeah. How I met him was I worked for the district attorney in Huntington County, and when he came down to June 1st, 1949, they thought it would be a good idea after they collaborated in the office, when they came out into my office, that it would be a good idea if I came to his classes.
Hmm.
So I did. Every Wednesday night I went to his class.
I see.
And
the plot thickens.
And I didn't even take an apple to the teacher.
Right.
And so we...
What a great way to meet.
It was a great time. And I was dating at that time a recruiting sergeant whose office was right next door to my office.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one night, Dale and I had were going to meet after school, and I left early and went down and was standing on the doorsteps of the courthouse in Huntington waiting for Dale to pick me up, and apparently he stood me up. Ah. And that ended our relationship. But I remember when Mr. Bingham came down the stair, or came out, went to leave as they were all leaving,
right.
He said, "May I take you home, Miss Holland?" So he drove me home. Well, the following week, he said to me in class, he said, "Now, I'm not going to be able to take you home tonight," he said, "because I had two other men come down with me, and they have my car." And he said, "I'm going to meet them up at the Legion." So I said, "Well, I'll walk up to the corner with you and then on up to the hotel, meet with my dad, right. Grab a taxi, and go home." Because you could ride anywhere in the borough of Huntington. And my home was outside of Huntington, but we were still within the borough line. The borough line was about 3/4 miles beyond my home. So that's
and they had some obviously had some good taxi service you get.
Yes, we did. Yeah. So we walked up to the corner, and as we were walking up at the house next door to, here came one of his friends down and to meet him. And they coaxed me to go with them to the Legion, and that started everything.
Our guest is Ella Bingham, and we're learning about her earlier romance with her husband. And I'm really delighted to have you here because I very admired of the history they have here. Where I lived before, I was involved in several historical societies, and it was very interesting talking about the older history, you know, wars and all this stuff. But I like to find out about what people did just a generation or two ahead of us. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about what it was like to live in Bedford in the 1950s. First of all, the turnpike had been built, but Bedford was a big trucking area, wasn't it? They
yes,
told me a lot
was.
Of trucks were here. Tell me,
yes,
can you tell me a little bit about that and what it was like to have that industry here?
I really can't remember how many trucking firms there was. There was quite a few here in Bedford and one or two in Everett.
Right.
I remember when I came into Everett, they were still getting back on their feet a little bit from having the flood in 1936.
Right.
And they were still, well, if you'd have seen it then, like it is now, what a difference. Hmm. Because they still had the water lines on some of their buildings, how far up it had been.
Sure.
And, but when I came into Bedford, I thought this was the most beautiful town. My husband had brought me up one time to a picnic we were going to have, and I stayed overnight. And I got to meet his parents, who had a restaurant here in town on Pitt Street, across from Cattywampus, across from the Ford Garage.
Right. Now, the Ford Garage that you're speaking of is at the intersection of Richard and Pitt, right?
Yes,
that great
that's
beam.
Right.
That so they sold
building.
Fords in there?
Yes, they did.
I see.
Yes, they did. My husband always had a Ford.
Uh-huh.
Until one time, my stepson was selling tires, and he tried to talk his father into, he said, "You need to buy another type of car." So the first one we bought in the GM series was a lemon, as it turned out.
Oh, no.
And my husband, you had to know he and his son. My husband was quite a jokester, and the two sons, our son and my stepson, were very much like their father in that respect.
So back to Fords, huh? Our guest is Ella Bingham, and it is fascinating to hear about this kind of thing because I've seen old pictures of Pitt Street from that period. They had a couple of garages right on Pitt Street, didn't they?
The Thomas Chevrolet. No, was it Thomas Chevrolet?
Yeah, I believe it was, because Mark Thomas was telling me his dealership used to be there.
On the first, on the left-hand side. The restaurant was on, as you turn to go up past the Ford Garage and go up Pitt Street.
Right.
The restaurant was the building that has a porch out on it.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. That's where the restaurant was. Up above that was the theater, of course. And then there was Heights. Plowshares and things like that from so like a hardware store.
So they
store.
Had a hardware
yes.
almost farm supply
and
place.
It was George Height who owned that. And across the street from that was Henderson's Market. And my husband used to buy for his father's restaurant the food, and he would buy from Henderson's Market. So that was on Pitt Street.
Mm-hmm.
The bake shop was still there where what's in the bake shop? Oh, Gardner's Candy.
I see.
Wonderful.
So, was the hotel functional? The Hotel Pennsylvania?
Yes, it was.
And
yes,
that was
it was.
Was that a hotel that people would stay in?
That was a hotel that they could stay in.
Mm-hmm.
Then above that, Oh, boy. Now you're testing my memory.
Okay, we'll get to it in a second. But I'm more interested in the hotel. So they had that hotel, and of course where we're sitting was a hotel, the Fort Bedford Inn.
Right.
That was a functional hotel
right.
as well.
Because I had stayed here.
So when people travel through this part of the country, they would stay at these hotels right here in Bedford Borough.
Yes. They would, then where you go up to Pitt Street, you come to the light, then the bank was on the corner, but there was a dress shop right next to it.
I see.
The bank was just right on the very corner.
Right.
And then when the dress shop went out of business, Barton's was the name of the dress shop, they opened into there and made
gotcha.
The bank a little bit bigger. Then across the street on the corner there was another hotel type.
Oh, really?
That bank wasn't there.
I see. There was a
time.
Hotel there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a building right on the other side of Pitt Street, down from Juliana, called the Union Hotel. Was that a functional place, or is
yes.
that just an old
no,
building?
No, it was a functional place.
Hmm.
It was, I don't know what I want to say about it, because I don't want to say anything nasty about it, but it was a different type of
right.
a hotel.
Right. Or as they say in business, it was a different price point.
Right.
right?
Okay. That's good.
Less expensive,
that's good.
Maybe. Yeah.
That's good.
Okay.
Yes, it was.
Because, well, I guess I'm going to ask you this is because there seemed to be a lot of travel through Bedford,
oh.
and that's why the hotels did so well.
They really did.
It's because you must have had a lot of traffic on Pitt Street coming down Route 30.
We did. Then we had a bicentennial celebration about 58 or 59.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite a thing. My husband was parade marshal. We had a couple of parades, and he was parade
oh, really?
Marshal. Well, when I married Cyril Bingham, he was mayor of the town. Besides being chief justice of the peace, he was mayor of the town.
He was mayor of Bedford?
He was
oh,
mayor
really?
Of Bedford. So
huh.
I was the first lady of Bedford when I came to Bedford.
You were indeed.
When I got married. He was president of the fire company.
Hmm.
He was one busy man. He had a meeting every night, secretary at the Elks Club.
Right.
And Wednesday night he taught school. Tuesday night he taught school here, and Wednesday night he taught school in Huntington County. So we continued going down to Huntington every Wednesday night. And after our
wait a minute, this is in 1958.
From the time he married me until.
So you drove from Bedford to Huntington. Just
it was 53 miles
oh my word.
One way.
Because that's a haul today, on a big road.
No, not really. Oh, I've done it too many times over
you
this year.
You have indeed.
I used to say I could get it when my mother would have a heart attack, and I was raising my little boy at that time. He was a little boy. I would drive to Huntington and take care of things there, visit her in the hospital. Then after she was home, I'd go out and take care of things at the house and somebody would do the laundry, and then I would stand in iron shirts for my brothers. And I would scrub the floors and do all things, maybe start something for dinner, and then leave and come home and get things here. And I used to say I could get in the car and say, "Cart, take me to Huntington. You know the way." Because I would not be doing that. I would be going in on Wednesday night with him going down to teach a school. He taught Justice Peace School in Bedford, Blair in Huntington counties.
Hmm. Well, he was a busy man, but it sounds like you were a pretty busy lady yourself with all the things that are going on with you. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Ella about this, and I want to try to get her to tell me a little bit about maybe how the Bedford Springs was functioning then, because it was a different hotel then. And Ella is telling me and convincing me that Bedford was quite a different place than the hustle bustle we're seeing today.
It really was hustle bustle, Tom.
As Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Larry Fisher of the Bedford Lions Club, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Have you bought your snow shovel yet? How about the gardener to clean up the yard for fall or that leaky window in the back? Wouldn't it be great to be rid of all of this? At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, you'll learn how easy and inexpensively you and your spouse can set up a new home in a beautiful community that offers maintenance-free fun and a first-class chef to prepare your meals. Give them a call at 623-0349 and declare your independence at Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
We have returned to the Senior Center here in Bedford, and with us is Ella Bingham, And Ellen's been fascinating because she is talking about at least a window of a period of time of which I have very little knowledge. I was very small when all this was going on. I'm not as young as your kids, but pretty close. And Ella has been tremendous. She has given us a very good physical description of what the place looked like. They told me in 2007, the Bedford Springs was completely rehabbed and redone and rebuilt and later acquired by the Omni Hotels. And now, of course, it's a great, big, beautiful resort. But what was the Bedford Springs like in 1950s? Was it still a big resort? I mean, did people come from all over like
yes,
they do now?
It was always busy.
Yeah.
When we used to go out there to dances, you know, and it was, and other functions, like weddings. We would be invited to some weddings, and maybe the reception was there. And that, it was just elegant to go there. I mean, you felt like you were somebody, because it was an elegant place.
Well, clearly it made Bedford different. There are very few places in Pennsylvania, even in the big cities, that have resorts like that. And so for Bedford to have that right in its backyard on its premises.
Well, the history behind it.
And the history behind it, sure.
The history behind it is something else, too. And then we also had, we have what we call the White Sulphur Springs.
Right.
And that's
south of here? Yeah.
Yes.
So they had the Bedford Springs, they had the Calibia Springs, they had the this
right.
other one you mentioned, White Sulphur, and I guess the whole area has a lot of these things. But what is interesting to me is it really made Bedford different, because today when you come here, you can see this town has a little panache that other towns don't have. And so it's a real benefit to live here. That's really what attracted my wife and myself to come here. Yeah. Ella is an old-timer here by comparison to me, I guess. I shouldn't say you're an old-timer, but you've obviously been here a long time.
Right.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about the Korean War. That happened just after you moved here. And
yes.
Did you feel that the town had been affected by that? Did the boys have to go off to the war again just 5 or 6 years after the World War II?
The thing that I remember about the Korean War, we'd only been married a very short time. When my stepson came from Pittsburgh and told us he was going back to Korea, because he'd been in the reserves, he'd been in there, Korea the first time, where he got his high school diploma,
mm-hmm.
and because he went in at 17, and then he was called back again.
So he had to go back. He'd already been there once, and he had to go back.
Yeah, he went back.
This would have been around the early 50s, I guess.
Right. Yes, it was. I was, after our son was born, back we sent a notice to Ken telling him about having his little brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the kitchen doing dishes one evening after dinner. The baby was asleep, and I was sterilizing bottles, which you did back then.
Yeah.
The girls don't do that today, or they have the throwaways, whatever. But I heard my husband, he was watching the news, and he never swore. And not in front of me, and I could hear him swear. And when I went in the room, tears was rolling down his face.
Mm.
And the president was saying, "We are not at war. We're just policing mm-hmm. Korea." And that hurt my husband so bad, because we hadn't heard from Ken for a little while. And that was really hard. So I know how it affected my husband.
Well, it affected your family directly. And it must have been tough, because if men go to battle, to fight in a battle, that's a war to me. You know,
had let us believe that he was driving an executive around, and
right.
he wasn't. He was right in the thick of it.
Sure.
He had shrapnel in his heel.
Mm. Was there, one of the folks I've talked to actually in this building, some of the women belong to an organization, but it's called the Former Howard Johnson's Waitresses, because there were so many Howard Johnsons here. They had them at Woodway on the Turnpike. They had
we
them
had
at the Cove
on
Plaza.
Side. One is one side and one on the
right.
other. And you could go under a tunnel and go
right.
there.
And the tunnel, of course, is long gone, but I understand that you could literally walk from one
yes,
to another.
Yes, you could.
Yeah.
Yes, you could.
So that's kind of cool stuff the Turnpike did back then.
And they were busy. They were really busy. And in fact, after we built our home in Meadowbrook Terrace in 1954, the lady that lived across the street was head waitress at Howard Johnson, she hired the girls. The girls always said, I've talked to different ladies over the years that I've been in Bedford. They said about working under Ms. Ott. My former neighbor, she said to me one time, I had gone over to visit, sit with her, and she was cleaning up her kitchen, and she was the ketchup bottle, and she was cleaning it off outside. She said, boy, I said, you're neat today. And she said, oh, Ella, she said, if you'd have worked on Ms. Ott, and of course, Betty lived across the street from both of us at that time. She said, you cleaned everything. She said, the salt shakers, salt and pepper shakers, she said, were wiped off. And the ketchup, she said, if it wasn't wiped off, she said, boy, you heard about it, you know, and all that. So I thought that was interesting.
Don't you wish it was like that in restaurants today? I mean, you know, we don't see any of this stuff anymore.
Apparently not. I don't know.
But this wasn't bad.
You'd be surprised how many women in our town that are grown up, you know, maybe not as old as I am, but almost as old as I am, that worked under her.
Well, I've run into many, and I understand they still get together someplace.
I know.
To remember, and I think the last Howard Johnson closed, I don't know, 30 or 40 years ago. So
I think
it's been
neat.
A long time.
Yes.
Because I remember them as a kid. Every time you went down the turnpike, that's all they had were the Hojos. Our guest is Ella Bingham, and Ella is, I've described her as far as I'm concerned, our local historian of things that just kind of happen in an ordinary day here. I want to remind you about one of our great sponsors here, Homewood at Springhouse Estates. And I've been talking about this for several weeks. They're one of our new sponsors, and I'm just delighted to have them on the air sponsoring our show today. Homewood at Springhouse Estates has a little slogan that actually I invented for them called Independence Day is Every Day. And I say that because it is independent living, really, at the best place you can imagine. Not only do you have your own place as a cottage or an apartment, but a terrific dining room, shuttle service to the market, walking trails, brand new facilities, senior fitness, bus trips, and spectacular views. All of this at no additional expense. At Homewood at Springhouse, you're going to fit in because your friends are already here. Call these people right now. They really have something going on. And get this, when you want to take off for a month or so, all you have to do is let them know, and they take care of the place while you're gone. I wish I had that in the house I live in now. It's a great feature. So if you want to go see your grandchildren or maybe your own children or some of your friends, Florida or someplace, you can just go. They take care of the place while you're out of there. Homewood keeps an eye on your place, and they keep an eye on everything in your place. So give them a call now at 623-0349. That's 623-0349 for Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. And also brought to you today by our friends at Thomas Chevrolet Subaru. Mark Thomas has been gracious to be a sponsor since we've started this program, and we really, really appreciate his support and everything. And you can help me by helping him by going over there and seeing what he has in that absolutely fabulous showroom he has here on Route 220 on the way to the Turnpike. We were just talking about that. He's got Subarus over there, which are extraordinary cars. I think for the 10th year in a row, they've been like the number one selling car in the country. They're just a phenomenal car. And also his traditional Chevrolet products, including the tough Chevy trucks, if you like trucks. So see him, Mark Thomas at Thomas Chevrolet, and everyone over there, including Stephanie, who runs the place. So thank you very much to both of them. And also a special thanks to our friends at Destination Delco, who sponsored our live broadcast that we did at this show just a couple of weeks ago during the Fall Festival. We are speaking today with Ella Bingham. I want to talk a bit about the restaurants. Bedford was full of restaurants in the 1950s and 60s.
Yes, it was.
And they had hardware stores, and obviously they had a theater, which fortunately we still do. But were the restaurants all family restaurants, or did you have any fine dining or anything like that here downtown?
My husband's restaurant, the Milkshake Inn, was a family type. You could go in and sit down. It was like sitting at your own table.
What a great name. Who gave it that name?
Well, that's what it started out as many years ago. When my husband was just a young man, his parents opened that as a milkshake place. You got, I guess they had the best milkshakes around, and then it got to making a little bit of luncheons, and Bing said, he said, if you were came in late and at night and you wanted to sleep in the next morning, he said, Mom was there, getting you out of bed so she get that bed made so she can start her pies.
I see.
Some days she baked about 100 pies for the restaurant when it started to be a restaurant. And then it grew. And they had two cooks in the kitchen.
And where was this place physically?
It was on Pitt Street.
Huh.
Cattywampus across from the Ford garage.
Oh, I see. The block you talked about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, then you went on up the street on the right-hand side, and I guess you'd call that fine dining.
So there. Was the Milkshake Inn open all the time?
Yes. The only time Pop closed it was Christmas Day.
So you could, if you were coming through town, you could just pull off on the street, go in and have some lunch or dinner or whatever. And did they serve breakfast?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
So it was open all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It was open from... I guess he closed about 9 o'clock at night, 9:30.
We just have a few minutes left, and I want to ask you a little bit about the economy of Bedford during those years. Bedford's always been a farming town. Was it a farming town then?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Bedford County is known for their agricultural. Right. Yes.
So
there was agricultural, there was the trucking,
mm-hmm.
and then the local businesses.
Right.
That we mentioned a while ago that were in existence at that
time. Could you buy a suit of clothes in
Bedford
then?
Oh, yes.
Where'd you do that?
Straub's store.
Straub's. Okay.
Because my son worked there as a teenager. And he got... The mothers used to come in, or the girls would come in, but the mothers would come in and have him wait on them. But the young girls used to come in, if they bought jeans, they wanted Cyril to tell them what they looked like. And that's where he was working when.
So they sold men's and women's clothing. Did we have what we used to call a department store?
Yes, on up the street, on Juliana Street,
yep.
on the corner of the alley. The bank, the First National Bank's up here.
Right.
And over on this corner.
But they had, you could buy kitchen utensils.
You could get, and there was clothing.
I see.
It was nice clothing. I mean, it was a nice place.
That's
and, of course, where the Founders Crossing is now, mm-hmm. that was Murphy's, G.C.
Right.
Murphy's.
So you had a Five and Dime also in town.
We had a Five and Dime.
So I guess what I'm driving at is that Bedford really was a completely outfitted town. You didn't really have to go anywhere else
at the
time.
No, you didn't. And my husband and I always said he made his living here, and this is where we bought here.
Yes.
We didn't
mm-hmm.
go to Altoona.
Sure.
Cumberland or those places only just to drive around or whatever. And President Eisenhower went through town about 1953, I would say, 52, 53. He was going out to Springs for a meeting, dinner meeting, and we at the neighborhood, because I was living on Simpson Street at that time, we mm-hmm. hadn't built our home yet.
Right.
I took our son and walked up the corner when his entourage was coming in. I picked Cyril up and held him in my arms.
Oh,
so, and I waved and took Cyril's hand and waved too.
So you saw the president
right
through the middle of Bedford. Oh, wow.
So that was neat.
And you know, back then, I think people forget, this wasn't just a president. This was a five-star general that helped win World War II.
Yes,
so
he did.
This was a big deal.
It was a big deal. It was a big deal. He was in our town. He was going to our springs.
Sure, yeah.
And the streets were lined on where he was going to be going through because they were getting a chance to see our president.
Well, Ella Bingham, you've been a delight. I want to thank you very much
thank
for taking
you.
Time to talk to us.
Well,
it's been
you.
A lot of fun to talk with you. I learned a lot, and I hope everyone listens to this show again because it's really interesting. You're going to hear some things you've not heard from anyone else. So I really thank you very much, Ella, for being so gracious. Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I look forward to joining you next time, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
Thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD. If you would like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, BedfordCountySpeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.